Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. That'll take us to the end of the chapter. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. Now, when we read this passage of Scripture, keep in mind that Paul is referring to his friends in the ministry. And so your pastor needs friends in the ministry. I need friends in the ministry. And we have to be friends to those that we are in the ministry with. And it may be that you're in the ministry. And so this should be an encouragement to you both to be a friend to those that you minister with and to also seek friends in the ministry. Let's read the passage and then we'll discuss the friends in the ministry. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Now this epistle was actually written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. That is, Paul dictated it, they wrote it down. And then Paul makes the salutation there at the very end of the letter. So at the close of this letter, here when he's closing up Colossians, Paul greets some at Colossae and sends greetings for others that are with him. From these greetings, we glean that he had some friends in the ministry. Now, don't know how many he had particularly, but he lists a few here. And honestly, if a man dies with five really, really good friends, he's a very, very rich and fortunate man. In verse 8, we see that these friends in the ministry were a comfort to the congregations that he ministered to, particularly to the Colossians. Look in verse 8 here, and he says, I'm talking about Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and watch it comfort your hearts. So somebody that helps another minister in the Lord shouldn't use his a position as a friend to tear down the work of that minister in another congregation or in his own congregation. He shouldn't use his position to tear down the minister before the congregation. I mean, sometimes one of the worst enemies that a pastor ever has in the ministry could be an associate pastor. And I'm sure you've encountered a situation like that from time to time where the associate pastor is not loyal to the pastor and then uses his position to sort of work behind the back there in the congregation. I've certainly had friends in the ministry who have experienced this, and it is devastating. Well, these men were real friends, and they were a comfort to the congregations to whom Paul ministered. And at the same time, these friends, according to verse 11, were a comfort to Paul. Notice what he says there in the last sentence of verse 11. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, watch it, which have been a comfort unto me. And certainly, when you are in the ministry, you are comforted by those who are really good friends of yours in the ministry. Likewise, being in the ministry, you should be a comfort to those with whom you minister. So if your pastor in your church travels from time to time to help other congregations and get with his pastor friends and a few other places, don't begrudge him that opportunity. It's a great thing to be able to be in the ministry together and to have time from time to time. I know in my own life I've had some very, very dear friends in the ministry, and they are indeed a comfort. Now, keep in mind that the comfort these men bring, the comfort is given at a time when it's really bleak. I suppose every man in the ministry goes through a very dark time at some point in time in the ministry, and when he does, it is a tremendous blessing to have ministers that are with him, that they may not be in the same city, they may be a long way away, but they befriend him, they want to take care of him, they want to help, because I'll tell you what, friends go a long way. I remember when I was in school training for the ministry, Dr. Ruttman had said on one occasion at least every semester, what some of you fellows need are just good friends, and a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. He said, not only do you need fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you ought to find you some friends in here that you will have as friends in the ministry. I'll tell you what, they're invaluable. Now, notice what these men were to Paul. First of all, some were beloved brothers. In verse 7, we see that Tychicus was a beloved brother. In verse 9, we see that Onesimus was a faithful and beloved brother. That is, somebody that they really loved. And you know, he says about Tychicus in Ephesians 6:21, he said, but that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing then that Paul had in his friendship with this fellow. Now I'm going to tell you something. There are times when those friendships, it's not just a matter of patting each other on the back. There's times when that friendship can be a very, very necessary thing to help a man along the way. I'll give you an example. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, do you know what Peter calls Paul? Peter said, account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Peter called Paul a beloved brother. But you know what Paul did? Paul one day took his finger and stuck it right in Peter's nose. In Galatians chapter 1, you read about this, or Galatians chapter 2. And he withstood Peter to the face because Peter was to be blamed for his conduct down with the Galatians. He led some of those Gentiles to the Lord, and he was having fellowship with them. And when the Jews came to check him out, he quit having fellowship with the Gentiles and only would have anything to do with the Jews, to pretend that he was still, you know, being legalistic. And Paul got in his face about it. And he said, this dissimulation is wrong. Now, a real friend will do that for you because he's a beloved brother. And he'll do that for your minister. And your minister should be in a position to be able to do that for him. All right, now the second thing about friends in the ministry is that they are faithful ministers. Faithful ministers. Look again in verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Faithful ministers are ones who will minister in their congregations and minister to people with the same faithfulness that your minister will minister. Boy, that's using that word a lot, isn't it? Minister will minister to the ministering congregations. Well, I don't mean to drive that into the dirt there. They're faithful ministers, though. Faithful in that you can count on them, and ministers in that they are there not to make a big name for themselves, but they are there to feed the sheep and take care of God's people. Look in Colossians chapter 1. We already studied this earlier in the study of this book, but look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, he mentions him, excuse me, in verse 12 of chapter 4. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. You see that? Now, notice that a faithful minister is somebody who will pray for his people, because Epaphras and Paul prayed for those Colossians there in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, like that. So a faithful minister is not somebody only that will feed them and help them along the way, learning doctrine and preaching and all those other kind of things, but he'll pray for them. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, both things. Now, that's awfully hard to do in the ministry where some of these churches are getting now to the 10 and 20,000 members in size. That thing is tough to be able to pray for those people like that. So they've got to have other people within the church to help in those prayer ministries. All right. Now, he says, beloved brothers, that's what friends are in the ministry. They're faithful ministers. You can count on them. And fellow servants in the ministry. Look at verse 7 again of Colossians chapter 4. Tychicus was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Now, a fellow servant is somebody who is ministering not, again, to gain a big name for himself. He's ministering not to be ministered to, but he is ministering so that he may serve, because that's what Jesus Christ told us that we must do. We are here, like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be servants to those people that we minister to, and servants to each other in the ministry. In Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 11. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, you'll see how the word is used again. Fellow servants are people who may go through some of the same horrible things as a result of ministering the word of God. Look at Revelation 6:11. White robes were given unto every one of them. Now, these are the ones whose souls were under the altar because they had been beheaded for their testimony, which they held, the testimony of Jesus Christ. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. A fellow servant is somebody that will minister with you even when it costs him something to do it, even when it might cost him, as it did these fellow servants, their lives. In other words, they already saw that some of these men were, martyred. And so they said, man, it may cost us that. It may cost us our lives to do this, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. They didn't count their lives dear unto them. Revelation 19:10. Notice something else about fellow servants. We're all on the same plane. One of the unique characteristics of a real Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church is that the man behind the pulpit is not some sort of a god or some sort of a lord or some sort of a clergyman who is over the laity. He is just another human being who, in this case, happens to be a servant of God and a servant of the church, to be able to minister the Word of God. And we're on the same plane here, all of us, under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What happened is that John encountered an angel that looked just like Jesus Christ, and he bowed down to worship him, and he said, don't do that, I'm your fellow servant. John and that angel were on the same plane. Now, the point is, I realize that in spiritual matters, in a congregation, a pastor will, from time to time, have to take the lead on things and set the direction and tone for the congregation there. But you know what he is? He's still a servant, and men that are in the ministry with him are still servants. So, you know, this idea that these men come in and they're some sort of a big shot. We need to be real careful about that in the ministry. All right, now, Paul's friends in the ministry were beloved brothers, faithful, you'd count on them, ministers, feeding the flock, fellow servants on the same plane, each serving, each esteeming the other better than themselves. Notice something else. He had some friends who were fellow prisoners there in verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. You know what that means, a fellow prisoner? That means that guy was locked up too. That guy was locked up too. Fellow prisoner, would you continue to preach the gospel under pure persecution? Would you continue to tell the truth if somebody said, if you mention the name of Jesus Christ and the simplicity of salvation, I'll lock you up? Would you change the message, like so many of the denominational churches have done today, and preach a social, get along with everybody, love your fellow man type gospel, and leave out the eternal message of heaven and hell by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are a lot of people who have. There are a lot of people who ducked it. I remember one time they told a story. I suppose it was true. If it wasn't, it sure makes a great illustration anyway, but I believe it was true. That somewhere out there, like in Vietnam or something, there was a makeshift group. There was a group of people that had been meeting in a church. Or maybe it was some soldiers in there. I'm not exactly sure how the thing went. But anyway, some of the Vietnamese came in there with their weapons, and they said, if you are not, it may be at a missionary work too, I'm not sure. Anyway, they said, if you are not willing to die for Jesus Christ, if you're not a true Christian in the sense that you are willing to die for him, get out now. We'll let you go because we are going to kill those who are going to stand for Jesus Christ because we can't stand that. Well, some of the people left the congregation. As soon as they did, the Vietnamese locked the door, turned around to those that had remained, that were up against the wall, ready to be killed, and they said, okay, tell us about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't want to hear it from anybody who would wimp out. We wanted to hear it from somebody who would truly stand with his life for the gospel. And I'll tell you what, down through history, Fox's Book of Martyrs records it, and there are martyrs today. There are people that have been willing to get locked up. There are people who have been willing to die for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These men with Paul were fellow prisoners, fellow prisoners. In Philemon, which is just a one-chapter book, we read in verse 23 something also about fellow prisoners. Let's see. I know that'd be in Philemon, yeah, verse 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. So Epaphras was locked up just like Aristarchus was. So Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 13 concerning these guys that are locked up for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So it was a wonderful thing for Paul to know that there were other men who could honestly appreciate the strife that he was in and pray for him in that and encourage him in that. Now notice these guys were also fellow workers, verse 11. Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Fellow workers. You know, people get the idea that the ministry does not take very much work. People get the idea, you know, that a preacher just gets up a little Sunday school lesson out of some sort of a booklet, and many do, and he gets his sermon together, and he may get it out of a sermon book, and many do, and he preaches, and he teaches on Sunday morning, and then he preaches again on Sunday evening. And then he goes to the house and he hangs around and drinks a little coffee with people in the church all week long. Wednesday night he gets a little prayer meeting together for the faithful few that will come for the prayer meeting. And then basically just administers the affairs of the church and doesn't do much work. Let me tell you something. There may be a lot of ministers like that today. But I'll tell you, Paul noted that there were with him fellow workers. And I thank God in the ministry that there are still men who are willing to work. And women. Look over here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life, or whose names are in the book of life. Let me tell you something. When a man really puts himself into the ministry and has been enabled by the Lord in the ministry, it's not a roller coaster ride of just kind of smooth sailing. With a little uphill thing from time to time as he has to get a little sermon together. This thing can be a tremendous amount of work. And it's a great thing to have men who, and women in this case, who would work with the minister. Now, this is where you can be a real friend to your pastor. Here you are listening today, and you're a woman. And Paul said, which labored with me in the gospel. What are you doing in your church to labor with your pastor in the gospel? You say, well, my pastor doesn't labor in the gospel. Then, I'm not telling you what to do, but I sure would spend some time in prayer before I decided that going to that church was the right thing for me to do. If your pastor is not willing to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, then what kind of church do you have? A social parlor? If you're a woman, labor with your pastor in the gospel. How? In prayer, in the tract ministry, that is putting out pamphlets or telling other people how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, by going out on benevolence exercises and dealing with folks who need some help, by going and being a comfort and a prayer person with those that are out there in the world that need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, help disciple them, sustain him in the ministry by other things that you can do. Fellow workers, Timotheus was a minister of God, Timothy, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, according to 1 Thessalonians 3:2. According to Philemon verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer. So Paul had some men that were willing to really yoke up with him and plow. I might have mentioned to you the other day when I was preaching, and it's just what God's allowed, but I preach and teach 12 times a week. That's some work there, in addition to taking care of my teenage children, of which there are four, and needs in the ministry, and then people that have needs that we have to pray with and try to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ and try to encourage. It is a lot of work. All right. Another friend in the ministry are prayer warriors. And Paul had some of these. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He had some very specific things he was praying for. He was praying for their perfection in the will of God. That's what Paul said. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not good enough just to be in the good will of God, not good enough to be in the acceptable will of God, but be in the perfect will of God. And Epaphras prayed to that end. He also prayed that they would be complete in the will of God. So he had a prayer warrior that worked with him. Moses had Miriam Miriam and Aaron, that was a brother and sister. And then he had Aaron and Hur that worked with him to help hold up his arms when Joshua fought in the battle. Prayer warriors. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, when you began reading and studying this book, Paul said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And he said, notice he said, "We do not cease to pray." So he had some to pray with him. Prayer warriors. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, Samuel told the Jews in Israel, he said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Now, so far we've looked at six things. We're going to quickly look at three more, but I want to suggest something to you. I realize that your pastor has other men who are in the ministry that hopefully are a help to him in these categories. But let me ask you something. Can you be a beloved brother to your pastor? Can you be a faithful minister? And that is, when he asks you to do something to help him, can you help him faithfully and he doesn't have to look back on it to make sure that it was done right? Can you be a fellow servant with your pastor and serve that congregation, to build that congregation, to build the people in that congregation? Are you willing to go with your pastor even in through affliction and hardship if he's willing to take that congregation along the line of the truth and the world doesn't want to go that way? Will you be a fellow worker with your pastor and shore up with him in the work of the ministry? Will you be a prayer warrior in your congregation? You see, because that's what your pastor needs. He needs friends in the ministry just like Paul had. And there are three other things. Paul had zealous workers, verse 13. "For I hear him, or bear him record," talking about Epaphras, "that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them in Hierapolis." In Titus, we read in Titus 2:14, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity," talking about Jesus Christ dying for us, "redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people." All right, and this peculiar people, which are you and me, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviors, I have, I hope you have. If you haven't, you need to. He said, "purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Are you zealous of good works? Now, you know what that means. That means always willing, always ready to go to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Zealous of good works. Listen, the problem with Laodicea, and when I mention Laodicea, you got to remember that Paul said, "Salute the brethren at Laodicea. When this letter is read among you, cause it to be read at the church of the Laodiceans, and read the epistle from the Laodicea." What's characteristic of Laodicea? Laodicea doesn't want to work. They're neither hot nor cold, according to Revelation chapter 3. God's sick of them, say, "I'll spew you out of my mouth, and Laodicea is the age in the church age that we're living in today. Rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. The Bible says, know you not that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zealous workers, zealous for the Lord. Now, zealous is generally used in a negative connotation, like Paul was zealous, but he was zealous in killing Christians. The Jews had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They kept the law, but they couldn't keep it faithfully enough to obviously get to heaven, and they wouldn't receive Jesus Christ. Now, not only that, but he had church planters. Look at verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. Archippus, Apphia worked with Philemon. Philemon had a church in his house. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house, according to Romans 16:5. Let me ask you something. Are you a faithful enough, zealous enough worker and friend to your pastor in the ministry that you are willing, under his leadership, to train, to be able then to multiply the work by being able to go out of your church and plant another church in your house? And I don't mean like a split. I'm talking about it out in another area. I got a good friend of mine up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He has now helped four men start churches in the last 18 months. He helped us start our church here in Corpus Christi. He helped Roger Harrison start a church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. He helped a church get started in Southern Door County under the leadership of a man that came out of his ministry there, Mark Engelbert, and he's helping a fellow named Will Kennedy start a church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. What is that? Those are church planters, fellow laborers. And boy, let me tell you something. You talk about a man that's charged up, Brother Keck, is one very happy, very excited man in the ministry. All right, and then the sour note, the ninth thing, and we'll just deal with this quickly. He also had some quitters. Look in verse 14. He said, Demas greet you. And if you'll go on and you'll study 2 Timothy 4:10, you'll find that Demas left him. Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. And then he had to encourage Archippus. He said, you tell that man to fulfill the ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was probably discouraged and ready to give it up. And he probably salvaged Archippus. So there you've seen it. There are also those sad cases where there are some people that quit. Did you quit on your pastor? If you did, go back and make it right.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.